At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Friday, March 22nd, 2019, the Feeding the Book podcast with Gil Alexander. Alan Boston back on the show today, this time to do the round of 32, second round, Saturday games, all eight of them, his insights. Exclusively on the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
But we want to start it off again today, for the third straight day, with Alan Boston, who has been so kind to us with his time and his insights on picks in days one and two. Want to get his thoughts on the matchups that have been set for round two on Saturday. Let's bring him in from somewhere on the East Coast right now. It's Alan Boston. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, and specifically Connecticut.
Connecticut. There you go.
On the Rhode Island border, near the beautiful westerly Rhode Island.
Very nice. How long have you been there?
Really is nice. It really is nice around here.
You've been
this
there?
It's a very wealthy state.
Since you've left Vegas, that's where you went? That's where you've been?
I lived in Ridgefield, Connecticut for 6 months, which was it's when my life was kind of spiraling out of control. It's after I sold my house at the absolute low and really, you know, thought I'd be retiring. Instead, I'm like scrambling. And was living in the wealthiest area of Connecticut, and you know, couldn't afford it. But I probably had the best 6 months of my life there. I reunited with my childhood friend. Our parents walked each other in strollers. He's 2 months older than me, and his mother was like my second mother. Literally, we've known each other our whole lives. I probably have known him my entire life. And turns out he lived 15 minutes from Ridgefield, and he was going through a nasty divorce. So. It was good for him to have someone just to hang out with. And I was new there and just had my Great Dane. And it's just an amazing town. It's a very wealthy town. But the people are very, very welcoming. The Ridgefield Playhouse is probably the best venue on the East Coast, maybe in the country. The acoustics are amazing. It's a nonprofit. They try to keep the prices down. They have 280 shows a year there. And all the old bands and groups that I like play there. So that's kind of why I went there. Maybe I'll get back there again someday. That's a very special area.
Well, I'm glad it's working out for you on the East Coast. I'm glad that you have settled in there. I want to get to these Saturday games, Alan. I want to get your reactions when we do that, when we set up the matchups. I want to get your reactions to what went down yesterday with the teams involved. And let's start with the first game that kicks off on, or that tips off, I should say, on Saturday, second round game between number 6 Maryland, number 3 LSU in terms of the seedings there in the Eastern region. Maryland gets through by virtue of a 2-point win over Belmont. They win but do not cover. Really came down to one loose ball late with about 1 minute 40 seconds left. Maryland's size advantage just barely gets them through that game. And then LSU, they win were up 18 on Yale at one point, actually went out to an 11-0 lead. Yale came back. LSU got it out to 18 and then had to stave off a furious Yale rally with threes. LSU gets the win, but not the cover. Yale gets the cash. So it's Maryland and LSU. This opened at 1. I immediately grabbed it offshore on LSU. It's LSU minus 2.5 in this game. What do you think about those two games yesterday and as you see this matchup on Saturday?
One second. I just got to send an order out here. yeah. I just noticed they hung tomorrow. So Maryland actually was very fortunate. I'm not so sure it came down to that loose ball. As you recall, Belmont actually had the ball down 1 with a chance to win and ran that fake panic play that they ran against UCLA years ago that got famous, and it didn't work. And Belmont, to me, kind of like choked this off. They got what they wanted virtually every time down the court. When they ran their offense, there were a myriad of three-point plays. And sometimes, this is their game, but they're a little too prone to quick hitting threes that they could have gotten almost at any point in the shot clock. When they ran their offense, they did better. Maryland really had a hard time defending them, and really the game should have been a blowout, I think. I really think Belmont should have blown them out. Even with Maryland just dominating the boards and having a chance to wear them out, they very quickly grabbed the lead in the second half, yet Belmont had the wherewithal and fight to get back in the game. And yeah, there were a couple of loose balls that went against them, but I really think Belmont, missed some foul shots. That they're a good foul shooting team. They missed some foul shots and just took too many quick shots. And down 1 with the ball, you have to get a shot off. You can't turn it over, especially when you're Belmont and you run such beautiful, efficient offense. So really a disappointing loss there, because they would have had a really good chance to beat LSU, even though it was their third game in 5 days. That would have given them a really good chance. They're such a hard team to prepare for on short notice. You got to go out, okay? Letting a dog out. And I don't like that song.
That's all right. Multitasking, we understand.
I am. I'm just a fucking wizard. LSU. LSU was fortunate that Yale missed a lot of threes. Yes, sometimes when you're 17 ahead, you tend to get a little complacent, but so you could look at the Yale comeback as that, but Yale ended up 8-for-37 from three-point land, and I dare say I didn't watch the whole game, but a lot of them were open shots that they normally make. Their best player, Oney, was 1-for-10 from three, and I think 2-for-16, or had some just abysmal game. Here's a kid who was, I posted his story on Twitter. He's a great story. He was not even recruited. Williams College, which is a very good Division III basketball school up in my neck of the woods. Very, very good basketball program. I think Dave Paulson, the coach for George Mason, started there, actually. He's the only team, only one that recruited him. And then someone happened to see some tape on him, and Yale recruited him without having him watch him play 1 minute, not even a second. And obviously, he's probably the best player that they've ever had. And maybe we'll have in a long time. He's a lock to make the pros.
Yeah, he's a pro for sure. They were 21. They missed 21 of 22. To your point, for one stretch of that game, they missed 21 of 22 behind the arc. Yale yesterday.
So where does that leave us? It leaves us with teams that got fortunate to get through. I mean, LSU played well for spurts, but their helter-skelter style is. And their coach is less than admirable. But having watched Maryland and having watched LSU, and again, I'm not really a basketball guy. I think the line opened way too low. I think LSU is a much better team. I think you did the right thing. I made the game 3.5, and I absolutely would have laid 1, or I would have laid 1.5 had I had the chance. But the game's changed, and lines changed very quickly, and there wasn't an opportunity to do either, so I'm just going to leave it alone. But I do think LSU was too athletic and certainly too quick for Maryland. Maryland did not look like the speediest of crews, would expect that you got a winner there.
I hope so. It's 2-2. It's 2.5 consensus right now. You might be able to find some twos, but yeah, the ones and the one and a half.
I'm not laying two.
Yeah, are gone now. The second game, chronologically, now we're talking on Saturday, tomorrow in round 2, set up from yesterday's games. You have a 7-2 that advanced in the Midwest region. Wofford did so last night against Seton Hall. And they did so, by the way, Kentucky, a 5-point favorite in this matchup with Wofford. Wofford advanced on the strength of a 17-0 spurt. They were up a point on Seton Hall with about 4.5 minutes left in that game. A 17-0 spurt. Fletcher McGee, Nathan Hoover just hitting threes left and right. Wofford gets it done in a big way against Seton Hall by that last stretch. Kentucky, sort of a walkover against Abilene Christian. They do so without P.J. Washington. And I must say, I'm no doctor, Alan, but you look at P.J. and you see the hard boot, and you can't imagine that he'd be ready for this game tomorrow.
He's definitely out. Yeah. They've already said he's out.
So he's out. So he's out as well. So this
he's
is
out,
five.
And obviously he's an important player. But obviously Kentucky recruits well, and against Abilene, that didn't matter. Now, you know, again, I'm not that familiar with the players. I'm sure the backup is pretty good, maybe even better than that. But, you know, where Wofford is in danger in this game is getting murdered on the boards. That's always the mid-major battle in any of these NCAA tournament games, or, you know, even during the year, but especially these NCAA tournament games where they let them play a little bit, is they get killed on the boards. Really, Belmont would have won by 20 if it wasn't for the mismatch on the boards. And that's why the 30-second clock is really so disturbing to me, because, you know, it's more chances for teams to get offensive rebounds and put the lesser team on the defensive and eventually have them crack. It was a much better game at 35 seconds. It's not supposed to be about the best team or the most athletic team or the power school winning. It's supposed to be about college sports, and intelligence should have something to do with it, and not just athleticism. And you know, if you remember what college really is, it's a place to get an education. So intelligence has something to do with education, and sports are supposed to be secondary, and they really have lost their way with this. But you know, it's kind of a microcosm of the whole world, really. When a whale washes up in Japan with 70 pounds of plastic in it, no one seems to give a fuck, then there's really something wrong with the world. Anyway, that's my little environmental diatribe. As for this game, the lack of Washington as their leading rebounder and the leading scorer too, I believe, really could help Wofford a lot. Anyone that watched Wofford yesterday saw why they have been such a home run covering team this year. They are very prone to big runs. They defend much better than most mid-majors do. The kid Jackson in the middle is an absolute monster. And when they got away from getting the ball into him is when they kind of like lost their way. Again, they started shooting some quicker threes that really they don't need, because anytime Jackson got the ball, something good happened. He is absolutely fantastic. I hadn't seen much of them, but I heard that, you know, he's the difference maker. And, you know, having someone like him at a Southern Conference school is crazy. The Southern Conference was really a powerhouse this year. They had Furman, East Tennessee State, NC Greensboro, and Wofford, all with tremendous teams. And as you recall, Davidson was once a Southern Conference school, so it really could have been a hell of a league this year. It was anyway, but it really could have even taken another step up. So where does that leave us? Kentucky had an easy time of it. Wofford probably should have had an easy time of it and just let it get away. You saw when the game got helter-skelter that Wofford struggled with that. I assume that Mike Young will be working on that when they play Kentucky. Kentucky's not really a pressing-type team, but they're super athletic, and definitely Seton Hall's athleticism bothered Wofford, so Kentucky's athleticism really could wreak havoc on them. But Mike Young knows what he's doing, and there's certainly ways to you know, by running good offense and having good spacing and making proper passes, you can negate some of that. And Kentucky's not the smartest of bunches. They definitely got a lot better as the year went on, but the loss of P.J. Washington absolutely matters in this case. And if they don't destroy Wofford on the boards, an upset certainly isn't out of the possibility. The line's no bargain. It's five and a half now. As for betting the game, I don't think the price is any, I mean, it's Kentucky against Wofford, right? It's the absolute, you know, top program in the country versus a Southern Conference school, and it's 5.5. So there's never any bargain betting the dog there for sure. But, you know, if they won the game, I don't think too many people would be surprised.
As Peter Keating from ESPN, the magazine, pointed out yesterday too, Kentucky 213th in the nation guarding 3-point shooting by opponents. So that if you're betting Wofford, that's probably where you're hanging your hat.
That's their game anyway. But they need to get it into Jackson and let him, you know, if he can beat his guy without Washington, that might help a lot too. If they can, just something good happen every time he had the ball. He's a great passer. They can't stop him one-on-one. They need to just go inside out instead of just, I think they need to be more patient. Kentucky can be beat if you're patient. They definitely don't have their focus nonstop. You know, they're so talented sometimes they're prone to apathy. And that's not the right word, but I think my point's made.
Yes, absolutely.
They can be probed and beaten, Kentucky. And I think that they need to show some patience, Wofford. You don't want Kentucky plays slow, but you don't want to get in a track meet with them because they play slower than most athletic teams, but you don't want this sped up too much. Even though Wofford likes to play fast, I think they'd be better off, if they get nothing on the first break down the court to run their offense for almost the whole shot clock. That's what I think. But,
all right.
Mike Young's a lot smarter than I am, and he'll do the right thing. An upset's certainly not impossible here. They're a very, very good team, Wofford. Giving you only 5.5, obviously it's not impossible. It's kind of a stupid thing to say. I'm not so sure how big PJ Washington's loss is. I think that's the key. And again, I don't know who the backup is, and I didn't watch any of the Abilene Christian games, so I can't comment. The game was over very early, so I didn't even bother. That's it. I made the game. I think if everyone plays, I make it 7. So the guy's probably worth 1.5 at least. So 5.5 is reasonable.
All right. His name is Alan Boston. You can follow him on Twitter at BostonRed88. We got 6 more games to get to tomorrow. We will get the reactions, and we'll talk about how they got there, as we have just here in this past segment. How did Florida and Michigan get through? Murray State and Florida State, those are the next 2 we'll get to. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN with Alan Boston. Stick around.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from Bookmaker.eu. I've said it before. I will say it again because I mean it. Bookmaker.eu, an industry leader to close to 30 years. The 3 things that set them apart: they take the highest limits, they pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player, and they're first to post odds. Never kicked out a winning player. Cannot stress that enough. Bookmaker, where the lines originate, that's their motto, because chances are where you're betting, they take their lines from Bookmaker. Just follow them. And right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL. You get an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Now, here's the deal on their big bracket contest. That second chance bracket, if you crap out on this one, $20 in entry for the Sweet 16, $5K, $2,500, $1K. Those are the first, second, and third prizes there. Again, every completed entry will win a prize. All the details for that one at bookmaker.eu/second-chance-bracket-contest. Good luck to you. And again, the bonus that you're looking for, bookmaker.eu/Gil.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
There is no better time than March, that's for sure, especially when it comes to betting. Now's the perfect time to try out the new PointsBet app. PointsBet is New Jersey's premium sportsbook. Check out their Make It Rain promotion. Every tournament game you bet on, get $3 whenever your team hits a 3. It's the best March promo out there. Download the PointsBet app. Get an instant $50 free bonus plus $1,000 in risk-free bets. Just sign up with code VSIN. That's VSIN. New Jersey only now. Must be 21 years of age or older. Additional terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. PointsBet. Stay sharp. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game right here at VSIN Sirius XM Channel 204. If you're watching on VSIN.com or the VSIN app, also, Fubo TV, you see that shot, live shot of the South Point Hotel Casino, where people are packing it in, ready to make their bets on this second day of March Madness. Moving on here with Alan Boston, Florida is taking on Michigan tomorrow in a round 2 game. Michigan got through very easily, dispatching Montana last night as a 2 seed, Michigan in the, I guess that's the Western region. Yes, West region, as is Florida, obviously. Florida does so over Nevada. And by the way, let me just say this before I bring Alan back in. There's always one or two people on Twitter who are going to like give someone a hard time because their best bet didn't lose. First of all, Alan's insight was phenomenal throughout what he was giving us. Here's the deal with Nevada. They were 5 of 24 from 3. Nevada was yesterday in this ball game. 5 of 24. Caleb Martin himself, 5 of 22 from the field, 2 for 11 from three. By the way, let me just say this. Nevada had four total assists in that game. Four. And yet could have won. Cut it down to a bucket. But it didn't work out. Florida does get the win. And Florida advances to take on Michigan tomorrow. Michigan favored by a touchdown in this ball game. Let's bring in Alan Boston. Your thoughts on this Florida Michigan matchup?
First of all, Martin had the flu. He was being pumped through a IV all night, so he was basically, even if he even play, which obviously I didn't know about, or I would have been getting off. No one knew about it. The game went straight up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting center Taylor didn't play at all in the second half. That's just too much to overcome. I dare say that if the team didn't have the flu and the starting center didn't get hurt, this would have been a cakewalk. The team shoots very well from three-point land. They missed a lot of shots they normally make. The game was a mismatch, and I really don't care what the result was. And to all those who don't like it, well, don't bet. Don't listen. I really, you know, I don't read Twitter anyway for that reason.
Right.
People want to hide behind Twitter. You know, come and tell me face-to-face.
The courage.
I'm 60 years old, but I still know how to react to something like that.
Alan, I call it the courage of anonymity.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Well, I call it stupidity. That's But unfortunately, stupidity kind of just reigns supreme in this country, maybe even in the world. So anyway, Nevada had the flu. Martin was being pumped full of IV all night. Admittedly, said after the game, I don't like making excuses. Yes, I didn't feel well. Yes, I was getting IVs all night. But that's why his game was not up to snuff. I don't know what happened to Taylor, who's very important for the team, but he didn't play at all in the second half. I kind of turned it off because I had no idea what was going on. I watched them play the first few minutes, and you know, normally they're a very, very quick team, and they just seemed very lethargic. And I called a friend up because I was all in on that game. And you know, who wants to hear it? Believe me, I bet an absolute fortune in that game. Like, that was far and away my biggest bet of the tournament. Like, not even close. Like, I won almost every game yesterday and probably broke even. So that might give you an idea. It is what it is. It's just a bad break. And that's gambling. But so, you know, I'm not giving Florida much credit for beating a less than, you know, a team that really wasn't there. And now they face a Michigan team that's entirely healthy now and obviously has a terrific approach to the game and a coach that knows what he's doing. And even more importantly, they brought in this assistant who's an absolute defensive wizard, and they just put strangleholds on every team they play. Again, Florida's youth, I think, is going to get them here a little bit. I think the line's pretty fair, 7, 7.5. That's right where I'd have it. But I don't see how Florida has any chance of hanging with this team. And, you know, I'm probably not going to bet it because the line's right. But you know, my gut says that Michigan will run them out of the gym.
Also in the Western region, right after that.
Michigan was very impressive yesterday. That Montana team is no picnic.
And they were impressive.
They were very, very good.
Murray State, Florida State is the other game in the Western region tomorrow. Murray State gets there really just absolutely boat racing Marquette. John Morant, not only the best player on the court, but messed around, had a triple-double in this game. And Murray State easily taking care of Marquette. Murray State doing it as a 12 seed. Florida State, I was saying yesterday on Twitter, all these games come down to, not all of them, but many of them on the number come down to the final possession. Florida State ends up winning their game against Vermont, but choose not to shoot a bucket there at the end when they run out of their basket. A little classy kind of move, but obviously that doesn't help Florida State better. So that was a big groan in the sports book. So it's Florida State, Murray State. Florida State favored, a look across the board. Consensus, it's at 5 right now in favor of the Seminoles.
Well, after watching Marquette yesterday, I was mumbling to myself, how the hell did this team beat me out of all that money all year? I lost
isn't that amazing?
A fortune betting against Marquette and just... And they showed, you know, Wojciechowski, whatever his name is, you know, the K assistant. They lost their minds. But part of the reason they lost their minds, well, they didn't really lose their minds. They were never the best coach team anyway. Morant's ridiculous. Like, really.
Incredible.
I've seen him play before, but that kid is, I mean, that's like John Stockton personified. Like, even a more athletic version of John Stockton. That guy sees the court like no other. And they talked about his patience, right? He lets every single play develop. His instinct for the game is nuts. And the kid Brown, who kept hitting threes, that's about as pure a stroke as you'll see. He might be a pro someday, too. They obviously have talent. Their battle was they were kind of getting mangled on the boards. And that's where the issue is going to be here. Mega athletic Florida State, number one, is not going to probably get out quick down the court like Marquette did. And number two, just might murder him on the boards. But, and this is a big but, you know, Vermont missed several shots they normally make, and Lamb missed two straight front ends of one-on-ones, and that's kind of where the game got away a little bit from Vermont. Certainly Florida State will enjoy playing this more up-tempo style. But Morant is I mean, I normally don't enjoy a basketball player that much, but that kid is very, very, very special. That's about as good a performance as I've seen in a game, like, ever. Even with his showboating costing them a couple turnovers, which were unnecessary, they just they were not going to lose that game. They just they were just too quick for Marquette, and Marquette had a very poor approach, which made it a lot easier. I think the line's a little bit too high. I think obviously Murray State is really good, and Morant makes them just, you know, unstoppable. They can never be out of any game with him in it. They'll almost always get a good shot. He never, you know, he really turns it over unless he gets a little showboaty. And, you know, again, this is another situation I think where patience will be a little bit more, will be important. You want to get in a track meet with Florida State? Maybe they do. You know, I'm not sure. Florida State certainly wouldn't mind that. But you get Florida State in a half-court game like Vermont did, and they do not run good half-court offense, like not even close. This will probably come down to if Florida State doesn't murder them too much on the boards. But I would definitely be have a strong lean to Murray State here, and definitely would have taken the opening number of six, and probably and definitely would have taken 5.5. I'm not so sure I'm taking five, but that team is really good, and Florida State the thing that worries me is Vermont was going to play Florida State half court. I'm not so sure Murray State will, and that may play into Florida State's hands a little bit. So, with a little bit of a reservation, I'm definitely having a big lean to Murray. And I hope they win. That Morant is fun to watch. I'll tell you,
he's fun to watch.
As a basketball fan, that's a treat. It really is.
You know, the consensus is that Zion will be the first pick in the draft, and that Ja Morant will be the second. I'm not so sure that Ja isn't more pro ready right from the start than anyone, and certainly in any college basketball game, with the exception of playing perhaps one of the big ones like a Duke, he's the best player on the court, period. And he certainly will be against FSU. I also, in addition to taking LSU -1 yesterday, I did take Murray State +5.5. I didn't see a 6, but I got 5.5. I also took them on the money line at about +184, I believe my number was, somewhere right around there. So
Got away real quick. I mean, yeah. People don't wait anymore, and I don't really understand it. If you know what you're doing, you're probably going to bet more than whatever Chris takes on the opener. But you know, that's their choice, and others have to live with it. In the old days, that stuff wouldn't have happened, someone was there to straighten it all out. But anyway, it is what it is, and you know, you can still enjoy the basketball game for what it is without a bet. And I think anytime you have a chance to watch Morant, that's fun. I genuinely enjoyed watching him play, and that does not happen often.
Let me do one more here
for a team that's kind of helter-skelter. He is just. I mean, every single pass he makes is at the right angle, to the right spot, at the right tempo. It's just, he just sees the whole court and sees what's going to happen in the next 10 seconds. Like, you know, for a player to be able to play as quickly as he does, yet to have the patience that he has, is just a really special trait. Plus, he can shoot. Plus, he's mega quick, and he's not a liability defensively. That might be why Zion is maybe a better pro. Morant's not the biggest, and he might have a little trouble at the next level defending. But, you know, again, I'm not a scout. So, but yeah, I'll take him on my team.
Absolutely.
Here, before we go, do whatever you want.
And before we go to break here, Alan,
he is a freak.
Let me squeeze in one more here for you.
Go ahead.
Obviously,
I'll be quicker too.
No. You're good. Gonzaga, Baylor. Baylor got through by beating Syracuse last night. Some might have missed that. Syracuse is one of those plays that everybody I knew, right? And we even verbalized this. We're like, I don't know one person on Baylor. That would scare me. Baylor
You're talking to someone who's one of his biggest bets was Baylor. So
yeah, no, I'm saying in my sphere over here. And then Gonzaga, obviously, they scored 53 in the first half against Fairleigh Dickinson. That was over.
Yeah, I should have laid that. They beat everyone by 50, and Fairleigh Dickinson is playing with six guys and on short rest. They had no chance.
This is 13.
The problem is Gonzaga 6-10 can extend the lead against most teams in the country. That's the problem. So Baylor, Scott Drew used the previous experience against Syracuse, and he just said, all right, we're going to shoot threes. And they did, and they made a bunch of them, and they won. Unfortunately, Mason got hit in the thigh and kind of was hobbling around there a little bit. He has a little bit of a thigh bruise. I think how that heals, he was fine playing through the game. He actually controlled the game for them and won the game for them pretty much. But I don't know how bad that was. And, you know, I just read it in the paper and I saw him like not totally 100% there, but you know, another day to get treatment. But if that bugs him at all, they have absolutely no chance against Gonzaga, and they probably have no chance anyway. Gonzaga just made mincemeat out of everybody out there. And I don't think Baylor's going to hit 15 or 16 threes again, like they did. And if they do, then, Mark Few doesn't stick to one zone defense. He'll mix it up and he's not a zoner anyway, but he'll mix up his defenses and take away what they can. And this really does feel like a complete mismatch. I think Baylor probably had their day in the sun and had a good day shooting and got through, but they've been pretty beat up most of the year and they're not 100% healthy. And now on one day's rest off a big win, I would expect them to get bludgeoned here. So
Gonzaga by
13. The line's kind of high. It's 13. I mean, but, you know, I wouldn't care. I would think this will be a 30-point jobby. So,
all right. Alan, stick around one more time. We've got three more games to get to. Minnesota, Michigan State, Villanova, Purdue, and Auburn, Kansas. Those are the other games on the Saturday slate. We'll get to those momentarily. Again, the VSiN College Basketball Tournament betting guide is available to you. It didn't expire just because the game started. It's something you can refer to throughout the tournament. It's a 90-page digital magazine. Featuring Brent Musburger, Matt Eumanns, Dave Tooley, Steve Mackinnon, Greg Hoops-Peterson, $14.99. You can order your copy at VSiN.com/subscribe. And while you're there, check out the best price to get the guide, plus 52 weeks of points spread weekly and a chance to win $10,000 in VSiN's VSiN's Beat the Spread Challenge. I should say not only $10,000 grand prize, of course, as you recall, but that was also to have the opportunity to hang out with Brent on set. Maybe get Brent to do a manscaping demonstration. I don't know what's in the final prize package, but that's obviously underway. All the VSiN College Basketball Tournament betting guide, factoids, and all the expert analysis at VSiN.com/subscribe. Check it out. More with Alan Boston coming up on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Now, back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
It is A Numbers Game where sports betting analytics live, actionable sports betting information. We do have a Tankapalooza play tonight coming up. Probably shouldn't have stayed away from Tankapalooza as it turned out last night at the NBA, but we will get to a pick later on the show. More with Alan Boston right now, again, at BostonRed88. An American original, thankful that we have him on the show, not only today, but also yesterday and the day before. Maybe we can coax him back next week for some Sweet 16 analysis as well. Let's continue with the remainder of Saturday's games, Alan, if we could.
Yeah, but I don't have a hitman out on me.
Why would you have a hitman out on you?
Nevada.
Oh, no, stop it.
Quick update. Evans for VCU, it's not as good a news as I had hoped. The coach said he's going to give it a whirl. But he practiced yesterday, and he said he's fine, and the coach said he's going to give it a whirl.
So he's in. Okay.
Coach saying he's going to give it a whirl is not as encouraging for me, so I cut my bet down a little bit on that game.
It was
one of my better plays of the tournament.
Give it a whirl.
That's VCU Central Florida, yeah.
Okay.
He's going to give it a shot. That's what he said. That's not – but, you know, they play possum once in a while, but
once again,
I don't know. He's certainly not going to be 100%, so, and he's way, way too important for them. I still think it's a good bet, but just not, like – a great bet. So I think I'll throw that out there.
Once again,
I definitely got off a lot of my, I had a big one on that and definitely cut it way down. Anyway, all right, on we go.
The committee putting VCU and Central Florida, as we talked about, together in a bracket, so one could be conveniently eliminated of the mid-majors.
Right, and then they could be worn out to play Duke the next game.
That's right. That's
anyway.
Right. All right, so we continue tomorrow. Minnesota-Michigan State is a 10 seed and a 2 seed in the is that the West, is that, Jeff? Yeah, that's in the West, right?
I have no idea.
No, East. I'm sorry. It's in the East. Correct.
Who cares?
I'm sorry. It's in the East. Right. Well just
remember when the East actually play in the East when they're in the East region?
Yeah. Just to be thorough here, yeah. Alan, for the bracket folks out there. Minnesota wins.
Great.
Minnesota wins. They beat Louisville. This was the first game yesterday. And Minnesota, which could very easily be argued, should they have been in the tournament or not, they go crazy from behind the arc. Very uncharacteristic of them. Not much arc defense from Louisville, it must be pointed out as well. Michigan State gets it done ultimately against Bradley, but it was not easy, for sure. They sort of outlast them and get some distance between themselves and Bradley late in that game. Michigan State here favored in this game over Minnesota by 10, Alan.
Yeah, they played, obviously they're both in the Big Ten. They played during the year. Michigan State, it was 13-14 when they first played, won rather handily. The trouble with Michigan State is they're basically using a six-man rotation or five-and-a-half-man rotation. Ward only played 10 minutes yesterday. Injuries have taken away some of their other players. He basically goes with five guys, and Ward played 10 minutes. I think Brown played 7 minutes or something. That's it. That's going to get you eventually. And they went through the conference tournament. Well, they had a Hearns for that, but he didn't play much either. My concern is that Michigan State wears down eventually, but it probably won't matter this game. They had no problem with Minnesota the first time they played. Minnesota shot the lights out, as you point out, yesterday, which is certainly an anomaly. And anomalies normally don't happen back-to-back games. I think 10 is a fair line for the game. They're like, you know, they were 13.5 during the year. So, and Michigan State being a little shorthanded, you know, probably means a half a point or a point. So 10's fair. I have no interest in betting this game at all. They're both very familiar with each other, and Michigan State shorthandedness is bugging me a little bit. That team, yeah.
I thought about,
you can't use 5.5 guys for a whole tournament, and that's pretty much what they're doing. And one of them is playing with a big wrap on his hand. So
I thought about you yesterday, Alan. I thought about you when Izzo was going after multiple of his own players, and they made a big, you know, was made a big deal of in this day and age. And Izzo was getting into their faces, and I thought to myself, old schoolers would just call this coaching, you know. And it's just
all it is coaching.
Yeah.
What, you think he hates the kid?
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous what the world's become. Anyway, yeah, I mean, that was a tough game for them yesterday. I misread that completely. You know, they won the Big Ten tournament, and they're playing Bradley. And, you know, ho-hum. Yeah. And they finally put the clinker in. And Bradley played extremely well. The coach for Bradley's good. They have a couple of very good players who weren't in fear of anything Michigan State did. The starting center for Bradley was terrific. One of the guards was really good, too. Bradley's going to have a good team next year.
Bradley plus 11 in the second half, where it went to die, the plus 11 for Bradley right at the end, for those who bet that halftime number on that.
Yeah, happens fairly often.
Yep.
When they crack, they really crack. Next.
Villanova-Purdue is next. Villanova gets by St. Mary's. That landed, I think that middled for books. That, depending on where
yeah,
you got the number.
Yeah, not a good number for the books.
Yeah, not a good number. Villanova won that by 4 over St. Mary's out of the West Coast Conference. So Villanova advances as a 6th seed in the South. They will take on number 3 Purdue, who dispatched Old Dominion. Purdue favored in this one by 4 consensus right now, but it's moving up to 4.5 as we speak.
Yeah, that one's too high. Villanova, Jay Wright with an excellent game plan. He decided that, you know, when a team wants to control tempo, they're going to be able to do it. He wanted to play quick. St. Mary's wanted to play slow. He resigned himself to the fact that, all right, we're going to have to play slow and just try to grind this out, because St. Mary's is so efficient that when you try to speed them up, they're going to make the proper pass and beat us. So very good decision by Wright to just try to beat St. Mary's at their game, since he has the better talent, and he did. You know, Villanova has a young team. I thought they might crash out here yesterday, but they played very well, and Purdue's dealing with a back issue to the starting center. They should have put Old Dominion away many, many moons before that and didn't. there's no way that Purdue is four and a half better than Villanova. That is just not close to being right. I will definitely be taking the points here. This is Villanova, man. This is not some shit program. They did win the national championship last year and a few years ago too. Yes, they're starting three freshmen, and yes, the year was less than stellar, and some of their results are a little dicey. But Purdue's another team that had issues at the end of the year, specifically that guy with I don't remember players' names, but I know the back injury was bugging them. They had some poor results. Yesterday's game was not something to write home about. Old Dominion is well coached and did muck it up enough to make things ugly, but they had a chance to get them to 30 and didn't. That bugs me a little bit. Purdue's another team that typically just plays to the best of their abilities. Their coach is very, very good. And they're another one I like to think about that their upside has been hit and they have nowhere to go but down, where I think Villanova has some wiggle room to move up, where they are playing three freshmen. They are kind of still learning the ropes. Was more impressed with Villanova yesterday than Purdue, and definitely would be taking the points here. Understand the line going up. Really don't.
I like it. A lot of conviction there on Villanova with the points against Purdue, taking the points in that one. And finally then, Alan, Auburn and Kansas, a 5-4 advance. This in the Midwest region. Kansas gets there. Amongst all seedings that were not one or two seeds, Kansas had the easiest time of it yesterday. They just rolled Northeastern. And then there was Auburn. Oh, my goodness. This was the ending that I think caused the most buzz of the day. Auburn gets by, and I do mean gets by New Mexico State. They beat them by a point. But in the last minute and a half of this game, roughly speaking, how many mistakes were committed? Oh, my goodness. And Auburn just absolutely lives to see another day because of a wide open missed three, which followed, fouling a shooter up three too early. It didn't really matter. Then fouling a 3-point shooter with 1.5 seconds left in the game. Just an amazing array of mistakes. But Auburn gets by 78-77. They don't cover, obviously, as 6-point favorites. Auburn opened as a 1-point favorite against Kansas, Allen, and this has gone up. It's 2 now, and I see some 2.5s even in favor of the Auburn Tigers.
I mean, athletically, Auburn is just better than Kansas. That there's no doubt about it. Northeastern I don't know what Northeastern was doing. That was shocking that an experienced team like that would really just lay down like that. I don't know why the moment was too big for them. This team has been in the NCAA tournament before and played extremely well. I don't know what happened yesterday. That was a very strange game from Northeastern, a team that finally had gotten healthy by the end of the year. Really just didn't try to stay in front of anybody. It was just, maybe they were just completely out-athleted. I didn't think that could ever be the case because some of their players are pretty good. But Kansas rolled them. Kansas is another team that could get better. I mean, he starts, I think, 4 freshmen. Obviously, he recruits like a motherfucker. He's got, top-tier talent. And then there's Auburn. I'm not a fan of Kansas, but Auburn makes them look like Einstein. It's stupidity reigning supreme. There, one of the announcers said that, boy, is this a well-coached team? And I didn't tweet it. I just was on the phone with a friend. I said, you believe that these guys get paid to say that shit? I mean, seriously, early in the game, because they ran up there, someone actually cut properly and they got the ball to him. So, some play you make in junior high, he was talking about how well-coached they are. Like, their offense is very simplistic. They take a million bad shots. They rely on their athleticism a lot. And they definitely, New Mexico State got a wide open three off an inbound play with 1 second to go. Are you kidding me? And why the kid from New Mexico State just didn't take the layup is beyond me. That was strange. But then this idiot goes and fouls a 3-point shooter.
They
couldn't handle a simple press to New Mexico State throughout them. Part of the reason was they were playing their fifth game in 8 days, and now this is 6th game in 10 days for Auburn. And that could be the difference here. Auburn definitely has better talent, but six games in 10 days, and they showed signs of weariness at the end of that last game, could spell the doom here. And I am going to be betting Kansas and hating myself after if I lose.
The self-loathing begins, Alan. No, you pointed
literally
out,
self-loathing.
Yeah, you pointed out. I buried the headline on all the poor decisions in that final sequence. You're right. it just a bunny to send it into overtime, ostensibly, and then the choice to send it out to behind the arc, which then
I'll give Jans credit. He told his kid, you know, that's I don't knock any play we make. That's the play he decided, and the guy had an open three, and he had a good foul shooter at the line.
Defended his kid. He did.
The poor kid choked. I mean,
he did. One of three.
They would have won in overtime. I mean, you know, Auburn was done.
Yeah. It was an amazing sequence. And Bruce Pearl.
He should have taken the layup.
he should have. But Bruce,
I can understand when you're an underdog, you know, try to win the game right then and there. I'm a big proponent of that. But they had clearly had taken over the game the last minute and clearly had Auburn on the ropes. And he should have just taken that layup. But, you know,
yeah,
that was his quick decision.
Bruce Pearl, to your point, saying he believes his team is tired. I don't know how much of that is, after the fact, sort of trying to make an excuse, but Bruce Pearl definitely saying that his team is tired. So you're on Kansas there, and like you said, if it doesn't go your way, let the self-loathing begin. Alan, you are the best, man. Thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you next week.
There you go, my man. We'll talk about Wednesday-ish about the Sweet 16 and let you
bye-bye.
Make your bets. Alan Boston, there he goes, at BostonRed88 on Twitter. Thankful to have him on A Numbers Game once again this morning. We are privileged, Jeff. I'm telling you right now, man, that this should not go unsaid. Very privileged to have him on. There is nobody better. He'll be modest about it, but there's nobody better when it comes to college basketball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.